WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively a drug city. We are doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour presented by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. I have the Ravens scratch-offs. These have been a pretty lucky batch. We had some winners over Coco's a couple weeks ago. Hopefully we do here at Drug City. Window Nation, I got the fun hat on. 866-90-NATION. Buy two, get two free. 0% financing. And, of course, our newest sponsor, Jiffy Lube MultiCare. There's one right around the corner from you. And from here, we're in Dundalk and old school in it today. It's my 55th birthday. Thought we were going to have Game 5 of the American League Championship Series tonight, but alas, Luke brought him bad luck by going down to Arlington, and we went down there. Obviously, the Orioles have lost 8 playoff games in a row now, and we're lonely and brokenhearted. And we're not doing a season recap. Luke and I do that all the time. George Shulman was a science teacher, not my science teacher, because I only took horticulture, and he taught, like, physics and chemistry and the periodic table of elements and what else?
Physical science. 9th grade physical science.
Which I still would fail at 55, as I pointed out.
I did struggle my way through teaching that biology class that one time, but oh my goodness gracious.
So you're worse than Mueller when it, because the old teachers, man, he came to me down at the fountain. He got here early, 20 minutes early, like a teacher would for class.
Yeah, exactly.
And he comes up and he's like, all right, what are we going to do today? Will you get the script for me? And I'm like, no.
You're like a science teacher,
you know?
What am I to expect?
We can't do that. But here's part of the script. I start to talk to you, and I'm eating a little chicken tortilla soup for my birthday, and I ordered a delicious hand-spun cream soda that was outrageously vanilla delicious. And he says to me, hey, you go to hockey games anymore? I'm like, no, I don't go to hockey games anymore. And then you came up with this baseball thing. He said this to me. So this is where the segment's going. He said, do you know, was that the first ever Baltimore Orioles World Series game? And I'm thinking, well, that was 66. That had to have been game 3. He's like, game 3 of the 66 series.
Yes, it was.
And I said, stop.
Yeah,
we'll
right.
talk about that on the air. Is what we're going to do. So,
there you go.
So, Luke, you know, this guy went to your amazing. Dad. Did he ever brag about 69, 70, 71, 79?
What, as far as going to games?
No. You know what? Was he an usher? Your dad was an usher for
83
like,
through 91.
So he got the 83 series.
He's got the greatest story ever.
Oh, no.
Oh, this is why I even brought this up, because I knew you guys would be fast friends. Besides being the Dundalk High Owls baseball coach, George, a great baseball fan. I mean, like all of us, I wore my 69 White Sox throwback here today.
I got my Dundalk High baseball hat
on there. It looks like the Tigers, right? A little bit. But it does.
It's the absolute.
But the Packers
the
colors.
A guy came up to me one time and said, how did you get the Tigers hat in green and gold? I said,
I will sing the Dundalk High alma mater before we leave.
You?
What?
Some years ago, when I was still teaching at Dundalk, we played Patapsco in the homecoming game.
We did.
Anderson did. And we won. And I think it was pretty much a foregone conclusion that we would, but we won. It was a pretty good night.
So you can't say Patapsco sucks here because it's Patapsco area.
Yeah, it is.
It's true.
That's
yeah. right.
But it was like 37-14 or something like that. So he's on the air in the evening. So I'm sitting in one of the coaches' offices, and all the other football coaches are sitting. I wasn't a football coach. I was just a friend of the program, you know. And I'm sitting. So I went in the other guy's, one of the other teacher's offices, and I call him up. And I get whomever, the guy that answers the phone.
Producer.
The producer.
Probably Ray, Andy. Okay.
I told him what it was. And he goes, and boom, clicks in. Shul, oh my God, I got to talk to you. So I said, we had a homecoming tonight, Nestor. And he goes, don't tell me. Okay. So he goes to some commercial, and he said, I'll get you on right at the commercial. Mm-hmm. And you were talking about.
See, even then, I told him I wouldn't green room you. I did not green room you.
No, you didn't.
He said, absolutely.
I'll get you right on.
That's been a lifelong.
And he said, they were talking about salaries and salary cap stuff and everything. So he comes back on, and he says, we've been talking about salary cap and everything else, but I've got something better now. And he goes, an old science teacher at Dundalk High School just called. You know,
I like to say my old science teacher because it sounds like I took science.
Yeah, you took science.
I did. I didn't know.
But he said, got some news about the football game tonight. I said, what you got? I said, well, Nestor, we had the homecoming game against Patapsco. And he said, wait a minute. If you tell me that that Dundalk won, I'll sing the Dundalk fight song. I said,
really?
Dundalk 37, Patapsco 14, sing that song. And he sang both verses.
I still can.
I've no doubt about it.
I absolutely will. I will before we're
over. There we go.
So I think World Series games, I added it up. I've been to 58 World Series games in my life, okay? So I did. You've been to zero.
Never in my life.
I've been to maybe two.
You've been
maybe
to two.
Three, yeah.
Okay. You remember World Series games you went to. You know, I mean, for me, the Leyritz home run was probably, you know, pretty high up there on moments that I'll never forget.
Yeah, yeah.
I was sitting with Ken Rosenthal when that happened.
Oh, yeah.
I'll never forget. Like, Atlanta Fulton County Stadium. But, you know, I mean, I was there for Schilling. I was there for, like, all the, you know, like,
right.
I was when Joe Carter hit the home run in Toronto. I was there for that.
Toronto, the walk-off.
Yeah, I was sitting in.
Were you?
Yeah, I was there for every one of those games. So, I love baseball. And when you said you were at, I mean, I've been to a lot of baseball games. I was 79, I went to a couple, 83, I went to most of them locally, where people would say, I went to this game or that game. If
you
went to a World
tickets,
Series
though.
Game, you're saying zero. Like, that, like, I'm a little shocked, but I'm like, well, when you would you have gone? You know what I mean? Like, other than going to Philadelphia or New York or some other place, right?
Yeah.
So I was 2 weeks old when the Orioles last won the World Series.
Tell him your story, and then I want to hear your 66 World Series story. Because yours involves his dad, and it involves his birth, and it involves
not going
the 83
World Series.
Yeah, and I mean, I wish it was like a cool story that he went and all these things, but you know, I was born October 2nd, which I believe, if I've looked at the calendar before, I think that was the regular season finale that day. I believe so, and you know, I think they clinched, and you know, McGregor won Game 5 on October 16th. I think it was. So I was literally two weeks old.
It was a Sunday,
but yeah, my dad.
I can tell you that October 16th was a Sunday.
My dad had become an usher. You know, he was a lifelong fan. He actually.
You were born on a Sunday.
The
second. Okay,
I was.
Good. Okay.
He and my mom. I remember this story. Brought a bottle of champagne to the 79 in what Game 6, thinking that they were going to put it away, and of course they lost. They drank the champagne anyway after the game, but
that was the game with the snow, wasn't it? With the hard.
Nah, that was game two.
That was early.
Yeah,
so cold. I was in that day.
I remember being in Hollabird Middle. We were in the same place. I was in the library that morning.
Uh-huh.
My dad had tickets for game two, and it was snowing at 9:30 in the morning when I was in the Hollabird Library. I looked out the window and I'm like, "It's snowing. We have a World Series game tonight." Like, I was 10 years old.
Crazy.
Anyway, go ahead.
But my dad was a lifelong Orioles fan. He was born in 1951. So, I mean, you know, he had seen everything. I don't know how many World Series games or playoff games he went to.
So he was 15 in 66. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I know 79 went to at least one World Series game. I know playoffs, Lowenstein hit the home run in, game one
against
of the
Angels.
ALCS.
Yep.
I know they were there for that. But, you know, 83 was his first year as an usher. Always said it was the coolest job he ever had. He did it through the final year at the old stadium. We had moved up to Pennsylvania at the end of the 90 season.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, that last year, he was kind of doing some games, but otherwise he's spending just not enough time with the family, and that's why he gave it up when they went downtown to the new ballpark. But, you know, 83, I was born, you know, he had every opportunity to work the World Series games, and he wanted to stay home with his two-week-old son. I mean, I said, and you know, my dad passed away in 04, so you know, I was 21 when he passed, and I said up until, I don't know, the last time we talked about it, a month or two, 3 months before his passing, that, you know, I always said he was crazy. Like, you regret that, don't you? I mean, and keep in mind, this was in 2004, so the Orioles were already in the midst of, what, 6 or 7 straight losing seasons since 97, and it hadn't been a whole lot to write home about since 83 for the Orioles. And
still hasn't been.
He never once expressed any regret for it whatsoever. And what's neat to me is I had always kind of thought it was more for my mom, you know, to be home with her.
Sure.
You know, my grandparents, my mom's parents came and stayed with them, you know, for, you know, a week or two or whatever it
was. You were a handful.
Apparently. It took 3 or 4 adults.
Apparently. But come to find out, and I don't think I ever really knew this for sure until years later, that mom just brought it up to me and you know, just casually, because we talked about it at some point in time, that she watched. They had like a little black and white TV in their bedroom. She watched the game up there with my grandmother, her mom, and dad was downstairs in the living room holding me and watching it with my grandfather, his father-in-law. So
So he, clearly you watched your first baseball. Just, first,
I did. I have no recollection of it whatsoever, game. Obviously.
We won.
You know what?
We won.
You real know, is real. I,
by the way. He has talked to Rick Dempsey about it since then.
Oh, okay,
I have. Also, full disclosure, I was technically in Cooperstown for Brooks's induction. Mom was 7 months pregnant, and it was hot as anyone can remember there.
From, summer of 83, baby.
So, yeah. So you know, I you look how old I am, and I've got gray hair now, and I just turned 40. It's been a minute since the glory days for the Orioles, but I certainly cherish that. And, you know, that story of my dad is not anything special from an Orioles fandom perspective, but it is special as far as
sure,
a father's
family
love.
Stuff,
and,
yeah.
You know, that's something that as much as I love baseball, as much as I grew up with the Orioles, and then, you know, I was 13 when the Ravens became a thing, you know, family's still first. And I think I joked with you as we were flying back after the Game 3 loss. I said, you know what? You know, my niece is 2. I love her to pieces. You know, try to be a great uncle to her and everything. It's like, you know, it's disappointing they lost, but she's not going to care whether they won or lost. She's going to be excited to see Uncle Luke. And
sky'll be
you know,
blue tomorrow.
You just kind of think about that. And
my cat was real happy to see me a day early.
I'm doing that. You know, I'm sitting here. You know, and I've been blessed enough to have an opportunity to work in sports media. I wouldn't have done that if not for my dad. I mean, my dad was
really
a sports fanatic, mm-hmm. but. That example he said it right at the beginning of my life, it's like, you know, that's, you know, you still have to keep everything in proper perspective. And, you know, as we recently lost Brooks Robinson, I mean, I think the thing that resonated for me more than anything, and, you know, I didn't know Brooks intimately well. I'd met him a few times. But I think where that hurt everyone is the sense of community that not just losing Brooks,
yeah.
but people in our own lives who loved Brooks so much, it's like losing another piece of them. And that's how I felt with, you know, thinking of my dad and my grandparents and my aunt and everything. But like that's such, you think about Brooks and you think about what he meant to this community, what he meant to baseball fans, not just in Baltimore, but elsewhere. You know, just, you know, yeah. we think of the Rockwell painting, right? And,
yeah.
you know, so much of stuff again. Like today, you see something like that today and it feels so contrived because professional sports are just, you know, there's not that connection in the same way, that sense of community. It's amongst people in the community, but athletes are making millions of dollars. And I'm not begrudging them for that. But
they don't need time for the fan the
yeah.
way Brooks
they don't need
yeah.
to, right?
And I just, you know, with that, I mean, I don't think my experience was different or unique than a lot of people. You know, thinking about Brooks made me cry because I knew it would make my dad cry. It would make my grandparents cry. And, you know, even though he wasn't, my, you know, he retired 6 years before I was even on this earth. But, you know, just knowing how important he was to so many people, you know, that sense of community and that sense of loss, but also so many wonderful memories. I mean, that's where I feel so warm and fuzzy still to this day, even as a jaded longtime reporter about the game of baseball because of what it meant to me in my entire life and what it meant to so many people in my life who aren't here physically on earth with us anymore, but still made such an impression. And I think a lot of people feel that way.
You know, with Brooks, you're right about it. Just, you had this, he seemed like he was just a regular guy
yeah.
that was right there.
Yeah.
I was in, my first wife and I were in Europe in 1977, the year he retired. And we had this really sort of stressful, there was an air traffic controller strike and how to get home, and she needed to register for classes at Towson, and so there was this crazy time, it was all over the place, and we're in London, and our flight had been canceled. It was a charter and it had been canceled, and so we went to the in-town, one of the train stations was where you would get your tickets for the airlines. So I'm like hanging there hoping something will open up. Well, finally this guy says to me, we can get you on a flight if you can get here in 25 minutes. Whoa. So I'm running back to where we're staying. We're throwing stuff in a bag. We haul down there. So, I mean, we're like tense, and we get on a bus and we sit there. And as we're sitting there, the bus is filling up, and I'm thinking, why aren't they going to throw me off? They could throw me off at any moment. I'm thinking, oh, please don't do this. So I got off the bus just to get something to read. So I went and I got the International Herald Tribune. And on the inside back page was sports. And I'm sitting there kind of outside looking up at the window of the bus. And the headline on the sports said, one leaves as one returns. And the one returning was Tom Seaver coming back to pitch in New York after going to Cincinnati. So one returns and one leaving was Brooks. midway through the season when he gave up his spot, somebody else would come in, and he retired.
The Senseis was the guy.
And I'm telling you what, I'm sitting there, and the same thing, it was like, I had tears in my eyes, because it's like, that's Brooks, and of course he's doing something nice for somebody else, you know? And so in the midst of this this tense, stressy situation, I'm reading about Brooks leaving the Orioles. It's like, oh my God.
You know, I mean, I think he was a science guy, and I don't know that you and I have ever talked a lot of baseball. Maybe we did when I was a kid.
Maybe.
You know, 83, yeah. 84, 85, sure. We were there probably in the hallway. Leifert loved baseball. I mean, Mueller, there were a lot of guys that loved baseball. Mm-hmm. Bo Ibner and people we knew. Mm-hmm. And my last name was Aparicio, so you knew that because you were there.
Yeah.
Brooks was there.
I remember.
Luis was there.
Yeah, I remember Luis Aparicio.
Where'd you sit? Game one? Give me game three of the World Series.
Game three of the World Series. Sat up between, just past first base, so we're on the right field line, out from underneath the overhang.
Box seats or like the
terrace?
No,
the next terrace. Next behind. What had happened was my father's aunt, my great aunt, my aunt Peg, worked up in New York.
She's always a story on the tickets.
Yeah, exactly. Well, she worked up in New York in the garment district. And I guess her company had connections with the Yankees. And she got two tickets. And my brother and I got to go. So I was 15. Awesome. My brother was 11. His birthday was yesterday. So...
No parental?
No, just the two of us. Well, my parents took, my father drove us up. And then
15
we went to stadium.
And 11, they get dropped off at game three of the World Series,
used to be.
Luke.
That's the way it was. It was comfortable, never an issue. So we sat there, and that was the one where Paul Blair hit the home run, and we won 1-0. And it was unbelievable that I can say that I went to the very first
Wally Bunker, right? Shut up.
Yeah, right. Wally Bunker.
Got to show my chops. Even
he's raining.
Boy. Yep, Wally Bunker. But it was, you know, that was pretty spectacular just to be able to say that I've been
awesome.
There. And then it was only later that I realized it's the first World Series game they ever played in. Zag. So that was pretty cool.
So Chuck Jacobs, he is the soda jerk. He doesn't mind that I call him a jerk because he's a soda jerk downstairs here. He said he just brought me an orange creamsicle hard seltzer with vodka. Happy birthday. So thank you very much, Chuck. Appreciate that.
Cheers.
We are at Drug City in Dundalk, one of my favorite places. The fountains downstairs, they have 30 different kinds of potato chips here. Okay? So like, I'm just letting you know about the gourmet. They have liquor and whiskey everywhere here and rye. They have the tasting room upstairs. And, of course, liquor store downstairs. I have a whole list of things to take home. My wife's been gone for like 2 weeks. She comes back Sunday night, my birthday weekend. I'm low on toothpaste. I'm low on deodorant. I need to pick up batteries for my remote control. And I'm a little low on tequila. So, I mean, you could do all
everything.
Of that here.
Everything.
Yeah, because if they don't have it, you don't need it. I mean, that's really the way, that's what Drug City's all about. George Shulin was our science teacher and baseball coach at Dundalk High School. By the way, they put me in the Hall of Fame. Is that crazy?
I saw that. That's wonderful.
Nuts,
you can still fit in your jacket. That was pretty
sick. Well, I can still sing the alma mater. And Luke is here as well. We're talking World Series because we didn't have one this year. And they're going to have one in Philadelphia probably, right?
What do you think?
Somewhere in Texas.
They're looking really good. They really are looking good.
Yeah, I mean.
But Arizona, though, I mean, 84 wins in the regular season, I guess it doesn't matter.
That's why they play the games.
The regular season just doesn't matter anymore.
On paper, it means nothing.
So I got a 66 World Series story for you. And I know, I've told this one on the air, you know, once or twice in the last, like, couple 5 years. Whenever Frank died, it was before the plague. So Frank, I think, may have died in, like,
2019.
January 19. Okay. Mm-hmm. So Frank Robinson died, and on that day, I went looking for a picture of me and Frank. I found two pictures where Frank and I were in the frame together. Frank, like, never really, you know, wasn't great to me, didn't like me, didn't like a lot of people, but didn't like me specifically. I always felt a little, you know, not welcome with Frank, right? So Frank called me out on a 3-2 pitch as the umpire behind the pitcher's mound in the one media, print versus broadcast. By the way, Kirchin played in that game. Kirchin was print. And I was then broadcast because I used to be print. In 91, I was print. 92,
traded.
I went broadcast.
Jumped
right?
Traded.
So, right.
Ship,
so yeah. I was on, and Rick Vaughn, who I had on the show 2 weeks ago, he swears that he has a videotape of me playing third
really?
Base in that game. And I made a great play defensively. I went over into the foul territory and dove and grabbed one. Keith Mills also played shortstop. Keith was a hell of a player.
Oh, my God.
Keith was a great
basketball.
He was a great baseball player.
He was a terrific
So he was our shortstop. I played third on the broadcast team, mm-hmm. right? It was 92. They broadcast the game. They had cameras on, and we were on the center field scoreboard in the game. Phil Wood was in that game. I go through Rosenthal. It was all the 92. It was 1992 in Baltimore. So Frank called me out in that game, and there's a picture of the team photo that of all of us in this picture, and Frank and I are in that picture. And then I found one more picture where Frank was the senior vice president of giving out fines or whatever it was in the 90s, where there was a picture of George Steinbrenner on the field at, let's say, Jacobs Field at the All-Star game. Okay. I think it was the 96 All-Star game. And Frank and I are in the same frame. But I couldn't find a picture of me and Frank and Frank and I. Frank never signed an autograph. I have Brooks stories. I have no Palmer stories.
Frank Robinson was great to me as a 10-year-old at FanFest. He was going to sign an autograph. Neither my dad nor I had a pen.
Oh, go away. Oh, my.
Well, I was a mean guy.
I was 10, you know.
As I get a little older and I wear a Louis jersey or 69 jersey, I realize these are grown men, and there were egos and ballparks, and there were black men and Latin men and white men, and there were rich players and poor players. There were players who were traded that were clubhouse problems, that were picked on or were whatever, drinking problems, like all of that, right? All of these... what was the Yankees with the wife swap? There were just all of these stories that some were told, some were never told. Some were told in Seasons in Hell, one of my favorite books. Mm-hmm. Some were told in The Lords of the Realm about how Steve Carlton wound up getting traded, and Augie Bush hated him, and that wasn't racial. It was just money, right? It's just money, rich and poor, all of these factions. So all these years later, I don't think about it. I don't think about being a long-haired Aparicio in the clubhouse in the 90s and what Jim Palmer or Frank Robinson or Davey Johnson or any of them who played with Louie. Like, all those guys played with Louie, right? And so did Paul Blair. And so did, all these men that I knew played with Louie. So how they felt about Louie might have affected maybe how they would feel about me or whatever, right? So I'm 55 this weekend. I probably didn't think about this till I was 40, and I certainly didn't think about it until the day Frank died. So when Frank died, I went looking for a picture of me and Frank, and I had these sort of, whatever, and I don't have some great, warm, fuzzy, the only stories I have about Frank are the times when I'm doing the show like this in the hotel in Florida, and Frank would walk by and wave to me. I'd say, "You want to come on?" I ain't talking to you, Nesta. So all I know about Frank, I ain't talking to you, Nesta. So he knew my name, but he wasn't talking to me. Mm-hmm. So I went looking for pictures, and on that day, I found this. I was looking for a picture of Frank and Louie, and I couldn't find one. I could not literally. There's a famous picture of Frank and Brooks that circulated two weeks ago, black and white, right, of that era, Baltimore jerseys. Mm-hmm. And there's all sorts of pictures. I could not find a picture, but I found a lot of stuff about Louie, right? So it took me into a Louie hole. And looking for a Louie and Frank picture, and I found all these pictures of Louie and all these stories written about Louie in that era coming to Baltimore and why he wanted to be here and why he ever wound up
here.
When
did he come here?
64. So he was a part of the 59 Go-Go Sox, right? Okay. He was a star there, but was always never paid right, right? Uh-huh. And was it because he was short, Latin, a player, all the above? everybody was mistreated, right? Brooks would tell you he wasn't paid right, right? And he didn't fight with, but you had nowhere to go, reserve clause, right?
Sure.
So I go looking for these Louie things, and I found a picture of Louie in the dugout at Dodger Stadium at the World Series with Milton Berle. And it's this black and white picture where Milton Berle looks like he just stepped off the set of It's Mad, 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 Mad World. Louie looks beautiful in his Baltimore, and it's clearly Dodger Stadium, and it's clearly the World Series, because why would he be there?
Why else would you be in Dodger
Stadium? And then I realized I have a picture of Milton Berle, too. I have a picture of Milton Berle and I at the World Series in San Diego in 1998.
Oh,
and it was kind of this era piece of me and Milton Berle and Louie and Milton Berle at a World Series game, right? So I found the pictures, and it took me back. Then I started seeing stories that Louie told reporters in the 60s why he came to Baltimore. And he said he wanted to bring his family. Right? Talk about your dad and your lap. The reason I'm sitting here is because somehow Hoffberger took a gander on the Latin kid that he might win a World Series, might bring him here in 64. And the misunderstood African-American in Cincinnati, where everybody's dropping N-bombs on him, and he's not comfortable going to the ballpark in the South in what Cincinnati was in 1956, 58, all that. That the things that Frank and Louie wanted when they came to Baltimore in 64, 65, 66, Jim Palmer's 18 years old, Brooks is welcoming, Boog Powell's welcoming, right? They just want to win. They didn't win in 60, they didn't win in 64, right? They want to win.
They were close in 64.
They were close. Yeah. Close enough that if we get this shortstop from Chicago, and bring him in.
Wasn't it back then only one person, only one team went? There wasn't
divisions. Yeah, right. Right? 16 divisions until 69.
Yeah, 69, right.
We played the Twins. Mm-hmm. So Louie comes and Frank comes, and it's a baseball story that lifted the city and lifted the Orioles, and you have these incredible stories of the 66, and you have 83 stories. I have 79 and 83 stories, and we're all waiting on the next one. But like the Aparicio thing and that connection and that part of it for me, as I've gotten older and as I've done like a little bit of research on how I got here and what baseball means to me, but what baseball meant to Louie Aparicio to want to bring my father, my father's brother over to America, and that, you know, I'm sitting here, and I really do want to celebrate that as they celebrate National Hispanic Heritage Month, that they kicked the Hispanic guy out of the press box. So I appreciate that. So, and you know, and I learned this too about Aparicio while I'm on the Aparicio bank, because I don't talk much about this. But like, since I started buying the belt buckles, I wore my Van Halen belt buckle today for Sammy Hagar because today's his birthday.
Okay.
So today's Sammy's 76 today. Daryl Hall was 77 the other day. And I learned that I interviewed Andy Summers this week. And I said to my wife, we're texting back and forth, she's up in New Hampshire, I'm like, Andy Summers got to be, like, 72, 74. Andy Summers is 80. He'll be 81 on New Year's Eve. So that's how the rock stars are getting older.
Yeah,
athletes are getting older. So I get on, you know, out on eBay, and I'm buying these belt buckles, and I start, like, looking at Oilers stuff. So I'm seeing old Oiler things. And I put Louie Aparicio in for the cards that I don't have and different, like, this jersey is the reason this exists. I paid $58 for this.
This is
a great jersey for $58.
It's a great jersey, yeah.
It's a little large on me.
I mean, that's the sewn-on stuff.
No, this is a sewn-on 69 100th anniversary patch. Only the 69 jerseys had these.
Never remember Chicago.
So I picked this stuff up, and you know, I'm going through the Aparicio stuff for like the Kellogg's cards and the postcards and coins that I had never seen before from 1962 and all that. Man, the baseball part of all of this and wanting this World Series for everybody, you know, for while Boog's alive, while Palmer's alive, right? I thought this was our year, and I know like. We will talk about this for a long time, how hard it is to win 101 games, how hard it's going to be a one seed again. And I'm getting older. I'm 55. You know, you just turned 40. Schulen's 2 and 21. And, you know, 66, 83, 79. We want to have it here again.
We do. But here's where you do take a little bit of solace is look at how this postseason played out. I mean, 100-plus win teams are gone.
Yeah.
Not just the Orioles, but the Dodgers and the Braves. The point is, we just talked about 1964 or 66, you know, pre-divisions. You had to win 101 games to be in that position.
Or go home.
Now it's, hey, chances are you win 90.
84.
You win 92, maybe 84.
81 would have been our year. 80, we won 100 games in 80
to
make the playoffs.
You've got a chance to roll the dice.
Yeah.
I mean, I looked at this today. The Oakland A's, worst team in baseball. They had a 7-game winning streak this year. Dodgers, Braves, Orioles, 300-plus win teams, all had 4-game losing streaks. What does a 4-game losing streak mean in October? You're done.
Yeah, you're done. You're out of there.
A 7-game winning streak, even for, you know, okay, the A's weren't going to make it ever with that record, but the Diamondbacks, look how they've gotten on a roll. It's all about who's hot, and when you expand the playoff field, it's going to create way more variance. It's going to have some lesser teams that sneak in, get hot at the right time, and unfortunately for the Orioles or for the Braves this year, who were the best team in baseball, when you have a more expansive field, chances are it's decreasing the probability that you're going to win it. So it stinks this year for the Orioles, but hey, they could be an injury riddled team next year that sneaks in with 89 wins as the third wild card.
And gets healthy.
And maybe John Means pitches game 3 next time.
Yeah. Remember in 82? 2, was it, when Milwaukee
beat us
out in the last game of the season?
Yep.
And then we came back and we were
that
monsters.
That last weekend wouldn't have meant anything if it was if we played each other 5 more games the next week, right?
Yeah.
All right, George Shulman is here, one-time science teacher. My son is actually doing the show, which he hasn't done in his adulthood. He looks a little nervous. You didn't shave? Come on. It's my birthday. Luke is here as well. We're talking World Series, having some fun here. So last two last things I want to do before we wrap here. We're doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour presented by the Maryland Lottery. My son's getting a lottery ticket, so that's good news there, I think. As well as our friends at Raskin Global and, of course, Goodwill. And our friends at Window Nation, 866-90-NATION, as well as Jiffy Lube MultiCare. So I have a mixed drink here for the birthday. And I don't want to make you cry, but I just want to give some love to Fantasy. Dave Fantasy was my 7th grade science teacher. I don't know what 7th grade science. What did you teach 7th grade? What did I learn?
I never taught 7th grade, but I think they probably had a little bit of biology.
Well, this is when I realized teachers were human, right? Because I'm getting to be a little person now. I get to change classes. I had Dave's 2nd period science. Kevin Eck and I were classmates at that time. Famous wrestling Kevin Eck. And Fantasy was our science. Did you know him then? You had just gotten to know
him.
We had
just gotten to know him. He came over 4 years
after me. I went through every year
of
high school, junior high and high school with you, and I never had you for a teacher.
No, you know.
You didn't teach remedial science.
It's not like you go out and recruit.
It's like, he didn't teach horticulture. He taught physics. So that's why I didn't want him.
You get what you get. You know.
So this is my fan story for you.
Okay.
So Dave Fantasy was a guy from Dundalk.
Yes, he was.
Who and I don't know that I valued that when I was in 7th grade, that I wouldn't have known, like, this guy's from the neighborhood. You know what I mean? Like,
married a Dundalk girl.
And I don't know that I really knew that until he died. You know, I mean, I read his obit this summer. And I hadn't seen Dave in a number of years, but I've seen him, you know, around or whatever. And he was one of our favorite teachers for a lot of reasons. One, he looked like Gene Wilder. He had a striking resemblance to Willy Wonka. He really did. And he had this matter-of-fact way, kind of a way about him, you know. He had kind of this thing about him. So... But on his desk, and I'll never forget the science wing up by the home ec in the up in the drafting area.
It's room 42.
I looked down on his desk, and there it was, and this is a great plug for our sponsors at Toyota. Toyota in 1978, 79, 80, 81, and you can eBay this, and you can buy this. You can buy the magazine. I'm going to find it while we're talking about Fan, because I'll get you a minute. And on his desk was the ACC season preview, and it was thick, dude. It was, you know, nice 120 page, you know, 8 pages on the Terps, 8 team conference. South Carolina's, you know, but Georgia Tech wasn't even in the conference at that time. So it was 8 team conference. Clemson, North Carolina State, you know, it was sort of the Worthy Perkins, you know, like that sort of era. Buck Williams. It was a 79 Buck team, and Reggie Jackson and Greg Manning and Reg King. So it's on his desk, and I looked at it, and Kevin and I looked at it, and fans were like, "All right, you can take it. Just go take." I had that most of my life. I kept that magazine. I probably got rid of it when I left White Marsh when I got married 20 years ago. But I had that magazine forever. And Fan gave me that magazine. So there.
That's our boy Dave.
I'm going to find it.
All right.
Good man and a good science teacher.
He was a great friend.
All right, man. I ain't going to make you talk about Fan.
That's
but
okay.
I have to. You want me to sing the... Let each fellow join our chorus, echo far and near. We will ever sing in triumph, and we'll always cheer. March on Dundalk, march right onward till we reach our post. And a cheer from each good fellow means we have not lost. That's Mr. Miller.
Right, yeah, I never did it.
You want me to our own dear Dundalk High School, we do celebrate all our hearts and hands and voices till we separate.
I feel like I should be standing up with my hand over my heart or something, don't you think?
Eat your heart out, Justin Tucker.
I never learned my high school's fight song.
Luke, I got to get you. He's off to Pizza John's for pizza.
Right,
he's off to Costa's for crab cakes. He doesn't come down to this peninsula. This is
one way
road. The sacred peninsula of Dundalk.
You come on down.
You smelled Essex on the way, and I know you did. That's what we say around here. But Luke Jones covers all things football and baseball. You'll be on the backfields at Owings Mills when Wednesday, right?
Starting Wednesday, I'll be back in the USA, and we'll see how the rest of the season goes.
It's bad news for the Detroit Lions this week.
Yeah.
Nothing for you? You done?
What?
Wait, you're retired. You're just done.
I think the Lions are cool this year. I've always loved their uniforms.
We'll get to the Lions.
I always like their uniforms.
Honolulu blue,
they're
baby.
Good. They're good.
Is that what they are? Honolulu.
I love
blue
George Shulman,
silver.
And I don't care who knows it. My longtime never science teacher, and he tried in the first segment to teach me M equals
F equals force.
Force equals
mass.
Times.
Acceleration.
Acceleration.
There you go.
Did you know that?
F equals MA. See there. Obviously a scholar.
My kid went to Perry Hall. That's the problem. We didn't learn that.
Barry paid attention in school.
I'm paying attention right now. It's my birthday. We're at Drug City. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. We got Raven Scratch-Offs, as well as our friends at Win Donation, 86690 Nation. You buy two, you get two free and 0% financing all month. And Jiffy Lube Multicare. My little orange light went out literally this morning. Had to text my wife and say, what's that mean? Get the oil change. I'm like, oh, I have a sponsor for that. Jiffy Lube Multicare. We'll be over at the Merritt Boulevard doing that. Luke, I'll see you in 6 months, 8 months. We were never in the same room together. We're never in the same room together. That's why I made him come here.
That's nice. I'm glad you did.
Maybe he needs toothpaste and deodorant and Drug City.
We're at Drug City.
We're at the tasting room above the fountain. I'm having adult beverages because it's my birthday. I've already sung and lamented loss of World Series, and I haven't even cried about the rain yet.
No.
That's all ahead. Back for more in Drug City. My kid's coming on next. I have no idea what we're going to talk about, but it'll probably be interesting, I think.